Lakers have high hopes once again for their 2020-2021 season, and it will get started here relatively soon, just the day before Thanksgiving in this COVID-delayed basketball season. Kyle Charters along with Brian Uber to goldandblack.com for the Gold and Black Radio Purdue basketball season preview. Brian, it's finally going to get started. It's not that delayed, I guess a few weeks, but it's been a little bit up in the air exactly what the schedule would look like. We know that for the non-conference. We know now the Big Ten conference schedule. We can get into that a little bit later on in the podcast. Perhaps, not bad from a Purdue perspective. And Purdue will play basketball. It's going to be an intriguing season, I think, for a lot of reasons, and a lot of those we can get into during the podcast. And I think one of the biggest ones that we can hit here right off the bat is it's going to be a different look for this Purdue team. Even though there are a lot of guys who are the same, there are a lot of newcomers who are going to contribute pretty heavily too, and at least a couple of guys departed from last year's squad as well.
Yeah, Purdue has a lot to prove, and they have a lot of inexperienced guys who need to be the ones who prove it. And, you know, circumstance is not on Purdue's side here because you've already got a couple of pretty significant personnel issues before the season even starts. You do not have the comfort, or you do not have the comfort zone that is Mackey Arena this year, as we traditionally know Mackey Arena, with no fans being present. You know, that arena alone is usually good for a couple wins a year, where maybe perhaps Purdue wouldn't have otherwise won the game. So, you know, circumstance is not necessarily on Purdue's side here, and Purdue comes into the season after last year with a lot to prove. You know, they have to be more mature, they have to be more consistent, they have to be more competitive. Those are pretty big deals, and it's up to the older guys this year to really, really take the next step. One of those older guys is out, you know, for the start of the year, which is a really, really significant blow for Purdue. So the path here is not exactly greased to start what'll be a really, really interesting, really, really probably eventful season. I don't think, this is going to be smooth sailing by any means. I mean, it's going to be one of those deals where the schedule might change on the fly, you know, things like that. You might prepare for a game that never happens. Games might get moved. Games might be decided by who has the most or least COVID. Yeah. It's just going to be a really, really interesting season, and one where Purdue, you know, is going to have to overcome some stuff, I think, to have the sort of season it aspires to have.
Purdue has a young team. It was going to lean on a couple of veterans for production, but also for leadership. And one of those guys, as you mentioned, is out here to start the season, and probably for at least the first month and a half, maybe a couple months, that being Eric Hunter. That's pretty impactful. I mean, you know, Purdue's going to be missing him in more ways than one.
Yeah, I haven't seen Purdue practice as much as I would have under normal circumstances, but it was my understanding Eric Hunter was clearly their second best player, maybe pushing that into a 1A, 1B situation with Travion Williams. He was really seemed to be poised to have a really, really good season, or a breakout sort of season. But beyond that, you know, Eric Hunter, of everyone on this team, I think he was the one guy who was the face of so much of what Purdue needs this season. It means experience, maturity, and leadership. And I think he was the guy more than anyone else who was, you know, trending in those directions. Purdue needs better guard play. He is their best guard and the guard who's going to have the ball in his hands the most. And they need to find a defensive identity, a defensive presence, however you want to term it. He is their most established defender on a team full of unproven defenders. He's plays probably their most important position defensively, guarding the ball. He did some really positive things last year. He was going to be a really key cog into what Purdue wanted to do defensively. So having him out for the first half of the season, whatever it may be, really is a blow to so many of the big picture elements that Purdue needs to fall into place for them to be what they want to be this season. So there's just no overstating, you know, the impact of this loss potentially. Not to say they can't overcome it, they can't still, you know, win games, but it is a big deal.
You know, the other part of that duo that you referred to there as 1A and 1B, of course, is Travion Williams. And, you know, he's a veteran now. We've seen flashes of brilliance. I don't think that's too much to say from him during his first couple of years But now he moves into a role where you have to see more than just flashes, right? I mean, he has got to be a day in and day out consistent big time player for Purdue to be the team that it hopes it can be this year.
Yeah, no question. Arguably Purdue goes as far as Travion Williams can take it because he's their best player. He's their best chance. And he was their best chance last year, and things kind of, you know, were up and down. That wasn't all his fault, obviously, but Purdue needs him to be different than he's been. They need him to be consistent. They need him to be aggressive. They need there to not be situations where a wing rotates onto him one-on-one in the post and his first instinct is to pass the ball out. He needs to go. He needs to attack that guy. He needs to score. I think, you know, something I've written about here is in two scrimmages at least, he made like 85% of his free throws. And if he – I'm not saying he's going to shoot 85% this year, but if he can shoot 70% or 67 to 70% at the very least, maybe that makes him a little bit more aggressive. Maybe that makes him, you know, a different player than he was a year ago. But Purdue needs him dialed in at all times. They need him aggressive. They need him playing like the best player on the floor, even when he may not be the best player on the floor, but they need him playing that way. They need him making good decisions. They need him in the best shape of his life so he can play more minutes, so he can be better defensively. They just need everything from him. And if they don't get it, you know, Purdue might have a long season.
We're previewing that season, Purdue basketball on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters, Brian Newbert. You'll talk to Matt Painter here coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll also delve in a little bit to the bevy of newcomers on this team and what we can expect from them. Talk a little bit of recruiting as well on the show. I would imagine, Brian, that one of the things that you asked Matt Painter about, and we'll hear from him in a minute, is about the fan situation in Mackey Arena. There will not be any. You mentioned off the top sort of how that affects Purdue. Certainly affects Purdue and affects the home team when Purdue's away also, so you have to keep that in mind. But Mackey Arena has been such a advantage for the Boilermakers over the years that it's going to be a weird deal playing in there with no fans and much more silent. And, you know, what is the home court good for? I don't know, 10 points a game? I mean, it was crazy last year in the Big Ten, right? Didn't the Big Ten start like 24-2 at home
something
last
like that,
year? Yeah. I don't think you'll see that this year. And, you know, for Purdue, you're not quite going to have the home court advantage that you're used to.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at last season, you know, when you itemize Virginia, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Iowa, those four absolute obliterations of good teams, good quality opponents in Mackey Arena, those are games that just speak to the power of that arena and what it has meant for Purdue over the years. Because if you play those games on neutral sites, you know, stuff doesn't unfold like that. And now essentially every site is basically a neutral site. I mean, there are some considerations like your ability to deal with the annoyances of travel, right, your ability to function outside of your comfort zone, your road routine, things like that. That stuff might still matter a little bit. But in terms of, you know, the actual home court advantage, I don't know if any conference is going to be more affected than the Big Ten because the home courts are so formidable. And I don't know if there are all that many programs out in college basketball who are going to be more affected by not having fans present than Purdue, because its home court advantage is so formidable. It has historically been so good at home. It has historically been able to be something much more than itself on its home floor. And this team is so young. And with young teams, that comfort zone can be really important. I look at Purdue, I look at Indiana as two teams who are going to be really affected, I think, by not having fans present. But Purdue's, I mean, it just kind of falls into the overall theme of Purdue's just got to be more mature this year than they were a year ago, and they have to do it with a team that hasn't played a whole lot of basketball. One of the many really interesting dynamics about this season that could go one of two ways on Purdue.
Much more to go on the podcast, including Brian's conversation with Matt Painter. That's coming up next. This is the Golden Black Radio Purdue Basketball Season Preview.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
All right, so we're here with Purdue coach Matt Painter. Perhaps you've heard of him. Matt, thank you so much for your time, as always. Just wanted to start off, obviously, you're 1 week from game time now. It's been a long, arduous process to get to this point, I'm sure. But through these first few weeks of practice, what have you kind of learned about your team and, you know, things like that?
You know, for us, it's, you know, you're trying to prepare for really the uncertainty. In so far, even though we had some uncertainties throughout the summer and the fall, you know, we've been able to practice, but we've had injuries. So this is something that could have happened to us in any year with some of the injuries. And then we started with 11 scholarship guys. And so that really doesn't bother you unless you have, you know, scenarios like this. Then, you know, you get into trying to figure out how you can get a lot out of your guys, but also not, you know, knock it out of them where they're not ready to go. You know, you got to get in shape, you got to be ready, but you also got to have a little pop to you. And we don't have any subs with our centers. We don't really have any subs when it comes to our fours. Mm-hmm. We had some subs when it came to our guards, and now we don't have any subs. So everybody literally gets into practice and stays into practice. You know, there's no, you know, going for 20, 25 minutes straight and then getting a 2 to 3 minute blow, you know, besides us getting a drink and shooting free throws and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, just getting into shape. And I think we're doing that. I think we're doing a good job of getting the guys that are healthy into that, even though we have a couple guys that are still playing that are banged up. And, but just getting the mind right more than anything, you know, trying to be on edge, trying to know what we're doing. And a lot of times young players get left behind because they simply just don't know what they're doing yet. And I think that happens in a lot of competitive sports, especially team sports. And that's the reason you hear people kind of with the stigma about the best thing about freshmen are they become sophomores. It really is just comes to that, because obviously they're talented players, but they don't understand a system yet. They don't understand the discipline of what you do. They don't understand the details when it comes to execution and staying connected on both ends. So those things kind of are out the window with us because we're short on numbers. You know, everybody that is healthy for us is going to play, and we have to get them ready to go in that first game. So that's a chore, because normally you have 13 scholarship guys and you have some talented guys that are younger. You know, they either are sub, you know, are going to play less minutes or not play because they're not quite ready yet. And you can always bring a guy along who's not ready, but you can't bring three or four guys along at the same time. That's dangerous. And so that's why we're really trying to get up to being able to function in a game and just simply know what we're doing.
Just, you know, this is a season where you have to kind of be ready for anything. Circumstances already kind of taking a bite out of your roster here with Eric and obviously Ethan missing a lot of the preseason. How do you overcome that in your backcourt?
Well, the guys have to play well. Yeah. You know, the guys that, you know, are going to play, you know, have to be productive, have to give you some consistency. You know, where are you going to hang your hat? You normally hang your hat with your experience. So, you know, that's what we need. But, you know, Eric and, you know, Ethan Morton are two guys that would have the ball in their hands and they're decision makers. Now you're going to have some guys have the ball in their hands a lot more. That maybe would be more on, say, the receiving end of plays instead of the beginning of plays or the start of plays. And that decision-making is important. You're not going to beat a quality team if you can't take care of the basketball. So that's going to be an important thing, not just for our guards, but for our big guys, because we try to get the ball inside and try to have good balance. So I think that's going to be the telltale, is our ability to handle the basketball, pass the basketball, make basic decisions, and put us in position to get quality shots. If we can't do that, and our execution is poor, or we turn the basketball over, you know, you're going to struggle to be successful then.
Right. Obviously, one of the big themes of your season at the last season is going to be consistency. I think you'd agree with that.
Yes.
When you're so young and you're so new and everything around you is so inconsistent, where does that consistency this year have to come from? Is it effort? Is it maturity? Is it what?
Well, I think you can't fight the effort piece of it. Like, you know, you have to play hard. You have to try to do what we're asking you to do also. You can't have that, you know, you can't have that immaturity. You know, just because you're not older and not experienced doesn't mean you can't be a mature basketball player. And when everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction and we're trying to do what we're asking to do. And a lot of times young players don't understand that yet. They don't understand. It's not necessarily, as a coach, you want to, you know, you want to be successful and you want to find the best way for your team to do something. Mm-hmm. But also a big part of that is everybody just doing it that way. So you stay connected so there's no surprises. When guys start to step out, and especially defensively, and just do things on their own that we haven't practiced, we haven't taught, now it messes with the next guy, and you get disconnected on the defensive end, and you get into a lot more rotations. You have more breakdowns. You get behind plays. Guys get more layups, more open shots, and obviously you foul more. So it just causes, you know, just a tough piece to always be in recovery. Like, you can't just always be recovering from a play and starting behind play. So that for us is going to be very, very important, that we're solid on the defensive end, we're solid on the offensive end, so we don't play behind things.
Right. What's your biggest concern right now?
Taking care of the basketball and just being able to stay connected defensively. Those are, you know, and then finish plays with rebounds. But that would be my biggest concern. Right. If, you know,
I've heard you say that 1,000 times.
Yeah. It's right. You know, those are pillars of the game right there. You know, the possession war, the toughness, the rebounding. You know, when you're good on defense and you're solid, it creates offense. And when you're good on offense and you execute and you take care of the ball, you set your defense. You know, our two are, you know, they're connected. And like in football, they're connected, especially in a turnover. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be a pick six and you can go to the other end. We have so many possessions that are back and forth. You know, they can have two or three in a game. That's the game. That changes the whole landscape of the game. You know, we have plays like that all the time.
Right.
You know, we obviously score way more points in our game. But those things are so important to not let the other team get easy ones. And then obviously you get easy ones through how you're doing it. It's a huge part of our game.
Right. How close is Travion to being what you want and need him to be?
Well, I think that lies in, you know, how he plays. You know, I think that for him, like, it's, you know, when you're talented and you have the ability the abilities that he has, you know, you don't get less responsibility, you get more. Mm-hmm. And so as time goes on, you know, that's something for him that he's going to have to embrace, that he can't have good spurts for us or he can't have good games for us. You know, he's got to have a good season. And I think that level of maturity has to come through just being more consistent in practice. I thought, like, last week he had about a week straight where he was really good. Then he had a couple days where he wasn't. But 2 years ago, you know, he would have had every other day where he was good. You know, last year he'd have 2 out of 3, and now you're getting more consistency from him. But it's not at that level. Like, you know, he – you know, but, you know, him being an all-conference level player for us is only going to happen if we win. You know, if you're all-conference and your team loses, you know, what does it really matter? You know, and so, like, it's the winning piece of it. It's the ball screen defense. A lot of the things I talked to Carl Landry about, mm-hmm. you know, it's the ball screen defense. It's the post defense. It's sprinting both ways. It's setting good screens. You know, it's doing all the little things that help your team win, because, you know, you go look at our team when we – in Coach Katie's last year, and we won 7 games. And yeah. You go and look at my second year as a head coach, and we won whatever we won, 21, 22, 23 games. We got fourth in the Big Ten. We won a game in the NCAA tournament. Carl Landry's rebound numbers and his points are really very similar. But it was all the other things that he did. Right. You know, he was better in practice. He, you know, was better in ball screen defense. He played defense without fouling. He boxed out more, even though he didn't get more rebounds. You know, he just did a lot of little things that helped us win games. And it really showed. And I think that really helped define and start, you know, his maturity as a player. And then obviously he had a great pro career. Without those little things, I think he would have struggled going forward professionally. Right. But like, he really made a jump, but that was his doing. Like, that was his maturity. And it was great to see for our team, but it was also great for him because that was a springboard, in my opinion, into him being a good pro. And that's where Travion is right now. Like, where does he want to go, you know, with all the little things? And he's doing a much better job with that. And he's obviously, I think it was 263 is where he was the other day. And so, you know, he's come close to losing 40 pounds in 4 months. And, you know, that's a pretty good stretch, or maybe 3 months. And, you know, he just has to stay consistent with his weight, stay consistent with his effort. And he's made a lot of improvements, but he's just got to keep coming.
Right, right. One last question for you here. I just want to get your thoughts in advance of it. What is this season going to be like? I mean, playing in Mackey Arena without fans there,
right,
going into games, you know, with the thought always in mind that anything can happen here. The game may or may not get played. You may have to pick up opponents on the fly. Just what is this going to be like from a preparation perspective and just from an execution perspective?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, you know, but it's going to be the same for everybody. You know, you're going to get hit at certain times during the season where, you know, you can't play somebody because, you know, they've had things happen to them, or we can't play games because we've had things happen to us, and you have to go into quarantine, and you get close to a threshold of, you know, whether you're going to play or not play. So, you know, you just got to expect the unexpected and control what you can control. Like, don't get, you know, carried away. I know that's kind of coach's talk, but it's just, if things happen to you, just, you know, be positive and stay the course and kind of figure out, you know, when you're going to play next and who you're going to play and what that looks like and what you can and can't do, you know, with your guys at that time. And some guys, you know, might be in quarantine and they're out 21 days, right, you know, like keeping their spirits up. And but just, you know, sticking with it, you know, and knowing it's coming, just know it's coming. So when it happens, you know, obviously there's some reasons why things are going on, but don't let them be excuses. Don't let them be excuses. Just stay with it. And even if you lose a couple games or you're going to have tough stretches, you know, just stay the course and keep coaching and keep playing and keep being positive.
Playing in Mackey Arena without the fans, are you going to have to ask more of your team? Are they going to have to generate their own energy to a certain extent, things like that?
It's exactly what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to generate their own energy. And, you know, you got to work on it too. You know, you got to work on that in practice and just trying to get guys to have it. And coach is not always talking, but then I think the coach has got to bring a lot of energy themselves. You know, it's not something where you can sit back as a coach. Like, you got to get guys fired up. You got to get them ready to go. Your home court, your fans are not going to lift you up. You know, they'll have crowd noise and things like that. But with that being said, you know, I don't think home court advantage will be as much across the board, but you still got to play the season and see what the data says. But also, it's, you know, I think it allow our league is so tough to win in the road. Does this help you, you know, get a chance to maybe, you know, win some games on the road that you wouldn't be able to win? But then again, it can flip on you and you can, you know, lose some games at home that you might have had, you know, with your fans in there. So you really don't know. Those are all obviously theories because we haven't been through it yet. You just got to have a pulse on your team and kind of a pulse on the situation as it happens.
Right.
Me answering it right now before it goes, I can guess, but you know, I haven't been through it yet. And I think you got to be very proactive with your players and keeping them in good spirits and having high energy and just being positive.
Right. All right, Matt, I appreciate your time very much. I'll let you get on to the next of your 32 Zoom calls today. Yeah. And thank you once again for your time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Noob.
Often things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
This is the Golden Black Radio Purdue Basketball Preview Show. Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit about the Boilermakers as they get set to head down to Florida to open up this season. Brian, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the newcomers because I feel like those guys are going to have to play. In fact, as Painter sort of said, everybody's going to have to be ready to play because for multiple reasons. At the start of the season here, Purdue at least has Eric Hunter out. Ethan Morton is returning from mono, so we'll see how ready he is to go. But also just throughout the season, this is such an odd year with COVID, with contact tracing, that, you know, from one day to the next, you might not know who's available. Everybody on this roster has got to be ready to go, it seems like, right?
Yeah, and I mean, if there's any modest silver lining to some of the preseason stuff they've dealt with, you know, Purdue has 11 scholarship players, and, Eric Hunter's out. Ethan Morton has been out. Emmanuel Dewona still hasn't practiced. So 11 minus 3 equals 9. 5-on-5 basketball requires 10. So everybody in practice has had to practice like a rotational guy. And at least to start the year, they're all going to be rotational guys. You know, there are no red shirts this year. Everybody ready or not, from Jaden Ivey to Ethan Morton when he's healthy to Brandon Newman and Mason Gillis to Zach Edey, they're all, you know, rotation guys. They're all being relied upon. And that's, you know, something that's going to make them better in the long term, but that's something where there's going to be growing pains because, you know, as Painter kind of suggested, you can hide one young guy who doesn't know what he's doing, but when half of your rotation is that guy, then, you know, you might have some problems. Now, that being said, there's no reason to think these guys are all going to be complete train wrecks out there in terms of not knowing what they're doing, not being ready, but there's going to be some ups and downs. There's simply no way around it. You can't play that much youth that much and not expect there to be some hiccups here and there. So again, Purdue's going to have some things to overcome here, especially early in the year.
There is reason though to think that some of these young guys have the kind of makeup needed to be able to come in and play right away and contribute right away.
Yeah, I mean, I think this team's newcomers are a lot like 2014's newcomers, where I think they're pretty level-headed guys. I think they're relatively mature guys for their ages. And I don't think this is going to be like 2012, where your guys just weren't ready at all, mm-hmm. in any sense of the term. And that season totally went sideways for that reason. One of many reasons, but largely for that reason. I think these guys are pretty well conditioned, pretty well wired to relatively thrive right away as opposed to, you know, struggle right away. But that being said, they are still young and there are still five of them out there who are going to be playing. So it isn't necessarily going to be a straight line, just like it wasn't for the 2014 class. Remember, Dakota Mathias was sick all year long, still played pretty well. You know, Vince Edwards did some pretty positive things by and large, a lot of positive things, but that wasn't necessarily, there weren't not difficult days for him. Isaac Haas, there weren't not difficult days for him. PJ Thompson, you know, didn't play as much as he wound up playing in his career right away. There are going to be difficult days for any freshman, and Purdue's playing a ton of them. So no matter how good they may be, no matter how mature they may be, no matter how grounded they may be, that doesn't necessarily guarantee you anything, especially coming off of this year, because this offseason was so non-traditional. And those freshmen lost out on a lot of opportunities to accelerate their growth processes. The Europe trip would have been huge for this group. Obviously, that wasn't even remotely something that could be considered, let alone executed, but they did miss out on that opportunity. They missed out on a lot of team practices throughout the summer, and obviously Ethan Morton being ill didn't help either.
Let's talk a little bit about Jaden Ivey. He's, you know, somebody who's going to be leaned on and counted on, I guess, throughout the season, but particularly with Eric Hunter out, with, you know, Morton being sick and rounding back into basketball shape, Ivy's going to have to play and play a lot. But that might not be a bad thing, right? He's a pretty good player.
I think he would have played a lot anyway, or I think he will play a lot anyway, because he's so good. You know, from the first time I saw him really play, I thought he was a guy with star potential. And I don't think anything has happened to this point to change my mind. I know they really liked him in the summer. I know I really liked him during the scrimmage I got to watch last Monday. Matt Painter said that was his best day, so that might have been a little bit of an outlier in terms of what he had been so far. But he's a really talented guy, almost as talented a guard scoring-wise as Purdue has signed. And I'm talking about guys like Etuan Moore and Carson Edwards. I think he's closer to that category than he would be something less than that. I think he's really gifted as an offensive player. I think he's really gifted physically from an athleticism perspective, from a speed and quickness perspective. I think he's a guy that Purdue is going to put the ball in his hands quite a bit and let him score. Now, that being said, decision-making at this level is going to be an adjustment. Defensive discipline, defensive understanding is typically going to be the biggest barrier between freshmen thriving and freshmen, you know, just being average or just being good as opposed to really good right away. That's going to be the biggest key for these guys. Do they understand their assignments on defense? Do they understand the team concept? Do they understand guarding away from the ball, et cetera, et cetera? But I think Jaden Ivey has all the tools as an offensive player to be a really, really high-impact player. And his usage will obviously be there, especially early in the season, because, you know, Purdue has four ball-handling guards, and two of them, you know, are unavailable. Ethan Morton might be available to open the season, but he will not have practiced for at least a month. And, you know, who knows what kind of shape he'll be in. But Jaden Ivey's the door's wide open for him.
With Zach Edey, another one of the freshmen, I guess my expectation when he got recruited, and perhaps it was yours too, was that, you know, he was going to redshirt, a little bit of a developmental guy. Now, part of that was the personnel that you expected Purdue to be having back this season, that he might not be pressed into action or needed to be quite as early. It seems like, you know, now with Matt Harms not here, that he'll have that opportunity. But aside from that, you've been pretty impressed with what you've seen out of him in the times you've had an opportunity to get over there. And maybe he's a little bit better than what we thought, right?
Yeah, I mean, you see Purdue signs a guy who's 7'4", who's played basketball for like 2 years, has really not done a whole lot as a player in terms of organized, highly competitive basketball. I think it was a very reasonable assumption to say this guy must be a project, that this guy is more prospect than player, and probably one of those guys where it's year two, year three. Had Matt Harms come back, you know, he would have had red shirt written all over him. But I went out there last Monday, and, you know, if I didn't know any different, I would have thought this guy was like a top 30 to top 50 recruit, because he was really good and he looked ready. I know it was just an intra-squad scrimmage, and practicing against your teammates is very different than playing Michigan State on a Sunday afternoon. But he's all a 7'4". He's gigantic. He moves much more like Matt Harms than Isaac Haas, which is a compliment. He's as big as Isaac Haas, though not as physically imposing probably yet. He moves really well. He's really light on his feet. He's really quick to the ball. He rebounds really well for a 7'4" guy. Rebounding is not easy for 7'4" because you're so much closer to the rim. You have so much more body that has to move to get to the ball. But he was really, really impressive as a rebounder, an offensive rebounder especially. He made some nice offensive plays where he showed some touch. He showed some feel for the game. He caught the ball and transitioned into basketball moves very quickly. I know that sounds simple and basic and fundamental basketball, but for 7'4" guys, that's not always the case. He just looked really, really good, like ready too, like a guy who has already answered Purdue's burning question about its backup center situation. And that could not be a more positive development because that is a wide open deal. This was the first time in years Purdue comes into a season without a wealth of riches at center. Throw in the fact Emmanuel Dewona, who obviously remains unproven himself, is out of the mix. It was basically Zach Edey or nobody. And the fact that Zach Edey has been really good to this point could not be a more timely clutch development, however you want to term it.
There's a number of guys who we have not mentioned yet on this podcast who are going to play significant roles, maybe even as starters. Aaron Wheeler, Sasha Stefanovic, Brandon Newman, Mason Gillis. I mean, Purdue's got some guys. Of sort of those guys, you know, what are your thoughts? Who needs to take a step forward? I mean, obviously Aaron Wheeler didn't have the kind of season last year that he anticipated. You'd hope that he would, you know, make a step forward. You know, Stefanovic was sort of up and down. And then the two redshirt guys, what are your expectations for some of them?
Yeah, I think that Stefanovic is going to be fine. I think he's going to be a better player this year than he was last year. And I thought he was pretty good by and large last year. Brandon Newman is going to be fine, I think. I think he's pushing to be a starter. I think he's going to be a really good player for Purdue. I know he was really impressive all throughout the preseason. I don't think that's a problem. I think Purdue has to just be better offensively. They have to get those guys good shots. They have to make better decisions. They have to be a better passing team. They have to play with more cohesiveness to really bring out the value of Stefanovic and Brandon Newman and Isaiah Thompson and all their other shooters even more. I think Purdue has got to get solid, reliable play from the four position. I mean, I think that goes without saying. That's their most unproven spot, that forward spot. You know, between Aaron Wheeler and Mason Gillis, Purdue just needs stability. They need productivity. They need reliability, all that goes into it. You know, Purdue has very rarely been good when they haven't had at worst an above average to far above average, you know, presence at the four, whether it be Robbie Hummel, whether it be Vince Edwards, whether it be Grady Eifert's 1 year. I know Grady Eifert didn't put up big numbers, but he played really well. He was an essential piece to that team's success. Purdue needs Aaron Wheeler to have a much better season than he had last year. They need him to be more consistent, making open shots. They need him to be better defensively. They need him to continue rebounding, but also be a better team defender, be a little bit tougher, a little bit more physical, play with more energy. They need Mason Gillis to come in and rebound and play hard and make open threes. Both of those guys I would consider to be unproven. You know, Mason Gillis hasn't played yet. The last we saw of Aaron Wheeler wasn't the best of Aaron Wheeler. So that's a huge concern, a huge key as far as I'm concerned. I think this is Isaiah Thompson's big opportunity now. You know, he had more competition this offseason, you know, than he did last offseason. And, you know, that goes one of two ways on guys sometimes. But Purdue needs him, you know, to be a good decision maker. They need him to be a good defensive player. They need him to make shots. And they need him to, you know, kind of raise his competitive level because he's got, you know, a lot of competition thrown in his lap now. So I would expect him to be better than he was last season. But Purdue needs him to be really good, too.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of recruiting. We'll do that coming up next. This is the Golden Black Radio Purdue Basketball Season Preview.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome back to Golden Black Radio, Purdue basketball season preview. Kyle here with Brian. Talk a little bit of recruiting, and Purdue got some big news here recently with the first commit in the 2022 class, Brian, and that comes from Fort Wayne's Fletcher Lawyer. Pretty good player, to say the least.
Yeah, he's really good. He is I actually got to see him play three times this summer. I braved the COVID jungle to go see him specifically. And I don't know if I've ever been more convinced of a Purdue fit than I am with him. He is really, really good, really, really skilled, a really crafty, clever player. Just a guy who's going to make Purdue a better offensive team from his first day on campus. This is very similar to what Dakota Mathias did at Purdue in terms of his ability to simply make Purdue better offensively, simply with his presence, with his IQ, with his skill, with his savvy, all of it. I think he is an outstanding start to this class for Purdue. I think Purdue immediately I've written this a couple times already. Purdue immediately recognized the idealness of this. That's not a word, but the idealness of this fit. But Fletcher Lawyer recognized it before Purdue did. So that really speaks volumes about what's important to him and how astute he is from a basketball perspective. And this is a guy right now who, if you're looking at rivals.com, you see him as like number 135 in the country and ranked as a three-star prospect. Let's see where he finishes up, because I've seen him play a lot more than everybody else. And this is a kid who is a lot better than his ranking. This is a kid who is ideally suited for Purdue, who is going to be a really, really good player at Purdue, if you ask me.
You mentioned Dakota. Is that the style of play that we should expect from him, or what's a description for how he plays?
Kind of generally in terms of his passing, his offensive savvy, his intelligence, he's an elite shooter. I think all of the elements he'll provide are kind of like what Dakota Mathias did for Purdue, where you know, he made Purdue a better offensive team simply because he was a good passer, he was smart, and he was a really good shooter. And all of those elements combined took Purdue from one level to another in 2014 offensively, even though he was sick or hurt pretty much all year. His style of play is kind of a little bit challenging to define. I have some comparisons I won't even articulate publicly because they are so obnoxious. But I think he's a combo guard. I think he can really play point guard for you. He's a guy, you can put the ball in his hands. He can make decisions. He can pass. He's a better all around scorer than just a lot of, quote unquote shooters are. He can really break people down off the dribble. He can make runners. He can make pull up mid range jumpers. He uses both hands really well, but he's a really clever player. He knows how to use his dribble to create space for himself. He knows how to use his body to finish, even though he's not the most physically imposing guy in the world. Again, he uses both hands really well. He knows how to keep his dribble alive. He just knows what he's doing offensively. Somebody has taught him really well. And considering his dad was a coach in the NBA, it's probably not hard to figure out who that person was.
So he's a commitment in the 2022 class. Now, maybe jumping on board here to grab a spot. This is a complex deal, right? Because you have a class in which players did not get evaluated in the same way, at least this last summer. You have, because of COVID, as well, that this is a eligibility-free year, if that's how you want to put it. Players can get this year of eligibility back that are currently in college. Purdue has no seniors currently, but they have a few juniors that are going to affect
potentially the roster size or class size in a couple of years. I mean, go through this with me. It's a complex series. Plus the transfers, open transfer probably coming.
Part of it.
Yeah, I might have buried the lead there. I mean, it's a complex deal to try to figure out how many scholarships you're going to have available, considering all those factors, right?
Right. I hate the term perfect storm because I think it's become such a cliche and it's tiresome to hear people say that. But if I ever had to use it, and I typically try not to use things I don't like using, this is it, because you have three singularly transformative dynamics going on in recruiting, and they're all happening at the same time. As you mentioned, you have the fact that nobody's been evaluated in person, nobody's made any campus visits. That is on its own a game changer for the recruiting process, a significant complication on both sides of this, the coaches and the players. You have the transfer reform giving coaches every reason now to oversign their classes. And now you have, or to blow off the high school ranks altogether and simply try to augment their classes or build their classes exclusively off transfers. And then you have the other part of it too, where the next few years, seniors are going to be able to come back for an extra year, with coaches after next year having to fit them under the ceiling of 13 scholarships. So when 2022 is that first class where your seniors come back, and none of those seniors have probably given any thought to it yet, nor are they obligated to, what are coaches supposed to do here? Like, to put a face on this, Purdue has four scholarships right now on paper, one of which is now occupied by Fletcher Lawyer. You have every reason to, and Matt Painter has said he's going to be open to this, signing five instead of four, because you can almost expect transfers now. It's going to hit everybody. Nobody's going to be exempt from that. But now, what if Sasha Stefanovic, what if Eric Hunter, somebody like that wants to come back for another year? You absolutely positively want them back, probably, because you still want to be experienced, mm-hmm. and you still want to have good players in your program and continuity among good players in your program, but you have no idea at this point. So here you are with Purdue sitting with one commitment. If you take one more commitment early, and it's not outside the realm of possibility that that's going to happen, then you're stuck, because you can't keep giving scholarships away, because then you close the door on your seniors, but then you might end up with more scholarships because of the transfer situation. Here's the other part of it here too, is that these kids are going to start committing earlier and earlier now, probably in the 2022 class, because those among them who are astute enough to know the lay of the land, every scholarship that's been offered for the 2022 class is now at risk of being filled by a returning senior or a transfer. Mm-hmm. That is just going to be the reality of recruiting right now. So don't be surprised one bit if this is a situation where these dominoes start falling a year ahead of time. And I think even in the 2022 recruiting dynamics for Purdue, you're seeing that, because you're seeing accelerated timelines on some of these guys. Fletcher Lawyer being a great example. Now, he committed because he was dead sold on Purdue. I think that was the biggest thing for him. But there are dynamics there that should give these kids every reason to want to commit earlier and earlier, because the process is going to move faster than ever with this class.
And it creates a weird dynamic right now, because you have a lack of evaluation period butting up with guys wanting to commit early.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be, in the 2021 class and the 2022 class, there are going to be a ton of misses on guys because coaches didn't have a chance to see them as much as they would have. Coaches didn't have a chance to sit across the kitchen table from them, get to know them. And this lines up perfectly with free transfers without having to sit out a year. So you're going to have naturally a bad evaluation cycle on top of transfers hitting the market. The grad transfer wire and the transfer wire in the 2022 class is going to have half of college basketball in it. That is very possible. And that's just the nature of what's going on right now. And that's another reason why college coaches might be hesitant to give out all their scholarships to high school kids in this class, is because you could just go out in 8 months and sign a new team. Literally, you can go sign a new team. And that's it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out.
Purdue did not miss with its 2021 class, recently signed Trey Kaufman Wren and Caleb First. It seems to me, Brian, that Purdue and Matt Painter probably had to really try to convince Trey Kaufman Wren that he could work with Caleb first? Is that how that recruitment, especially after first commitment, in the spring, went down?
Yeah, the process obviously evolved. I think obviously when Purdue got Caleb first in March, they never in a million years would have thought they could get Trey Kaufman too. And it was one of those deals where it was one or the other. And I think it was probably presented to both players that way. What you then saw was Purdue recruited a bunch of guards and wings. As it turned out, it didn't get some of those guys. It walked away from at least one of them. Meanwhile, in the summer, if you watch Trey Kaufman Wren play, you saw a player who had as productive a quarantine in the spring as you possibly could have imagined, because when he came out of it, he came out of it bigger, he came out of it faster, he came out of it more explosive, and he came out of it as a more confident, more authoritative jump shooter, better off the dribble, all of this stuff, to the point where you could look at him before as a straight-up four-man, but now you can look at him as a guy who can credibly play on the wing. I'm not saying that's necessarily ideal. I think his best matchups are going to lie on at the four, the way Caleb first's best matchups are clearly going to lie at the five. But they recruited Caleb first to play power forward. That's what he wants to do. He's going to play inside some too, as he's well aware. But you can play those guys together now in situations where first may be the four, Kaufman may be the three, or first may be the five, Kaufman may be the four. So you have this very versatile, very modern, and very complementary pairing in your front court that can play together a lot of different ways. And I think they can be really good together. I've seen both of them play as much as anybody. And I think they're both unselfish guys. They're both really versatile, really skilled. They can create matchups pretty much all over the front court. And I think they're going to be really good together. But Purdue had to change its pitch, its plan to those guys. And this is a recruiting staff that is very, very into presenting coherent plans from a basketball perspective to players. And they had to adjust that plan on the fly. And they had to convince Trey Kaufman Wren that he and Caleb first could fit well together. That wasn't a problem. I think that was a situation where Trey Kaufman Wren saw it himself. And then they had to go to Caleb first at the 11th hour and say, hey, here's our plan now. And I know he was open to it, which is, was very important to Purdue too, because he was already committed before all this went down, and he's their guy. So they had to do right by him as well. And, sometimes this stuff can get sticky in recruiting. You always want to maintain trust with everyone. You don't want to play all sides of the fence at all times. But, Purdue pulled this off, pretty smoothly and got two really, really good players who are going to be really good together.
Both those guys, and you know them better than me, but looking at it from afar, seem like sort of no-nonsense type guys, that kind of message you might be able to get through to them without sort of the outside noise getting in the way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're Matt Painter, you can explain that reasonably to both those guys, it seems like to me, and they hear you and maybe don't hear some of that other stuff outside.
What I've always said about Purdue is that, one of the things that's changed in recruiting, Purdue's on a tear in recruiting right now. This is the best recruiting run of Painter's career by a long shot. And part of what I always said about Purdue before was to get really high-end players, like everything had to be perfect, because there was always 6 degrees of separation to somebody who was pushing Indiana, or there was an Indiana fan close nearby, or, a blue blood would come in at the last second and, Purdue wouldn't be big time enough for that player, or the NBA, would come up, or a parent didn't like Purdue because they didn't think it was big time enough, or whatever it may be. Now you have an obstacle like this and Purdue can overcome that kind of thing. And that speaks to the sort of players that Purdue is recruiting to, the sort of people they're recruiting, where you can go to them and you can explain something rational, and there's not this visceral reaction of, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else instead, so it speaks to the level-headedness and the maturity and the selflessness of the people they're recruiting, that this wasn't a total deal breaker for two really, really highly recruited players who had a lot of options here.
Yeah. Good show, Brian. Thanks, man.
No problem.
All right. Thanks to our sponsors as well. And thanks to you for listening. Of course, we'll have much more on Gold and Black Radio throughout the basketball and football seasons. All right, for Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is the Gold and Black Radio Purdue Basketball Season Preview.